The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's April the 24th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Dave Dickey will be along, too, with all the day's agricultural news, and we'll hear about this drop-off in demand for soybeans. University of Illinois Extension's Daryl Good has some thoughts on where the price of that crop might be headed by this fall and beyond. Well, don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at the agriculture weather forecast. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. July wheat down 12 and a quarter at 489 and a quarter. That was Kansas City, actually. The May contract in Chicago for the soft red down 10 and a half at 483 and a half. In July there at 497 and a half, down 8 cents. September futures were at 506. They were off 6 and a half for the day. May corn futures 8 and a quarter higher at 360 and a half. July at 371 and a quarter, up 7 and a quarter. And December futures were up 4 cents at 372 and a half. May soybeans down 11.5 cents at 709 3/4. July at 726 1/4. They were off 11 3/4. November's at 753 1/4. We're down 12.5 for the day. May bean meal futures at 440 lower at 190.90, and May bean oil at 31.84 down 29. Feeder cattle over at the Mercantile Exchange trading 35 cents lower at this hour for the afternoon. A settlement price at 107.10 in the nearby April's. April live cattle at 96.90 down 52.5 cents, and the June live cattle up 15 cents at $93.30 a hundredweight. May lean hogs were down 80 cents today at $75.85 a hundredweight. Outside markets, crude oil, July contract, $65.70 a barrel, down $1.41. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 12,976, and it's up just about 57 points, for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
And joining us on this Tuesday afternoon to take a look at what happened at the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. What a beautiful day it is out this afternoon, but doesn't look like it's going to stay that way this week.
It sure doesn't. Rainfall, I heard Ed Kieser talking about along the Mississippi River already, should spread across all of the Midwest by, I think, late this evening, early tomorrow morning. Rainfall due here maybe sometime really late in the evening, past midnight potentially. We'll get more on that just a bit later. But weather is really what's been driving the Board of Trade today.
You know, we've been in a weather market here for a little over a week, Todd. You know, we're trying to decide. Course planting progress was just at 11%, half of the normal. Places like Iowa were only 8% seeded versus 18 last year. You know, when they had a lot of rain out there today, it's what's the weather going to be? You know, how much is this going to amount to? And how much more is coming back next week is to do it? We know that we can get in the field. If it dries out just a little bit after this, or we don't have too much rain and get a lot of stuff in the ground before May 10th, the optimal date, but, you know, how much is going to be done that way? Today we found corn, the end user buying on the steady opening, though, Todd, and added some strength over in the corn market.
You know, the rain, the weather, the end users explains the uptick in the corn market, but why were we down in the soybeans?
Well, it's unknown how much of the wheat acreage will be torn up and seeded to beans, number one. Number two, as we get delayed here, there's thoughts that we might switch a few of those 90 million acres back into the beans. And, of course, we do have some fairly large, you know, record world supplies and days usage here at the beans. And South America, I think, is going to probably try to get back in on this export market here soon. So a lot of those things, and of course the export numbers yesterday were not very healthy.
So when you look out at tomorrow, what do you see if we get the rainfall started? Corn continues to move higher?
You know, we're going to look at the rainfall starting. We're going to look at what amounts we've seen to the west and if the storm stays that intense. But more so, we're going to be looking to what the weather looks like next week. It's a pretty sure thing we're going to get some moisture between now and Thursday. The question mark is when will we be able to get back in the field to get planting and get things progressing along that way, Todd. So, you know, today as we looked at things, the funds only sold about 2,000 beans, and a fourth of that was J.P. Morgan. Rosenthal was big in the bean oil. They sold 1,000 bean oil contracts, that way. The wheat, as bad as it was only, they only estimated somewhere between 2,500 and 3,000 contracts that the fund sold today. So it wasn't tremendous volume that all this happened on. We're also hearing that specs have liquidated some open interest in the corn futures and options, and some of these funds might be moving some equities into the equities as the Dow approaches the 13,000 mark. And as we look up at the screen, we're 13,000 in the May Dow right now, Todd.
Okay, we appreciate you being with us for the day.
Thank you, Todd.
And that's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Tuesday afternoons.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Ag Meteorologist Don Day about the global weather forecast. Our own Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser says tonight across the state of Illinois and into west central and southern Indiana, mostly cloudy skies, areas of rain, some thunderstorms. In the north and eastern Indiana, increasing cloudiness, a chance of showers, some thunderstorms late. Lows will range from 44 in the north to 62 in the south. Tomorrow, cloudy, some rain, thunderstorms. Highs ranging from 52 near Lake Michigan to 72 in the south. Dave's here now with the news.
In agricultural news, USDA Secretary Mike Johanns could issue a decision as early as July regarding whether USDA will allow farmers to withdraw land from the Conservation Reserve Program without penalty. Johanns will wait until after the June 30th Planted Acres report to make the decision. If Johanns gives the go-ahead, it will become effective with the 2008 crop year. The Washington Post is reporting that internal Food and Drug Administration documents show the agency was aware of food contamination problems that sickened hundreds of consumers and killed three people in recent months, but only took limited action. The documents showed the FDA relied on the firms involved to police themselves. Internal FDA reports also indicate the agency's approach to plant inspections needs to be overhauled. FDA is responsible for safeguarding roughly 80% of the nation's food supply. U.S. beef officials are closely watching how South Korea inspectors handle a shipment of beef from Creekstone Farms. The shipment arrived by air yesterday. Greg Dowd is chief economist for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
There's now, for several months, been no trade, and that's because there's been an enormous lack of trust between the U.S. industry and what's going on in Korea. The situation is very significant and for the fact that we've had, for the first time since, a U.S. company willing to take another stab at this.
South Korea says it will take a week to 10 days to complete inspection of the shipment. Last year, South Korea rejected three U.S. shipments over bone fragments. Since then, there has been no beef trade. South Korea now says it will not reject entire shipments, but only individual boxes of beef containing bone fragments. Japan has agreed to conduct new inspections of U.S. beef packing plants, and those that pass will no longer face having every single box inspected when shipping beef to Japan. The audits will begin as soon as arrangements can be made. Japan's stringent inspection requirements have caused a number of U.S. beef packing plants to be delisted from exporting to Japan over minor shipping problems. The American Farm Bureau Federation wants a change in the countercyclical program for the 2007 Farm Bill. Yesterday, the AFBF released its plan, calling for an adjustment in the countercyclical program from one that pays farmers based on national price to a program that triggers payments based on a shortfall in state crop revenue. USDA has proposed a national trigger for the 2007 Farm Bill, while the National Corn Growers Association is calling for triggers on a county-by-county basis. Minnesota has stopped distribution and sale of genetically modified seed corn produced by Syngenta because it does not qualify with state regulations. The seed is AgriSure RWMIR 604, Ag Department Biotechnology Specialist Mary Hanks.
Minnesota is the only state in the United States that has additional requirements before genetically engineered seed can be sold to farmers in the state. And at this point, Syngenta was unaware of that requirement, so did not seek that approval. And that's why we have issued the advisory that asking farmers not to plant the seed, since as far as Minnesota is concerned, it is still a regulated genetically engineered crop.
While the seed has federal approval, Minnesota law requires companies to get a commercial use exemption before selling GMO seed. Last December, Syngenta paid a $1.5 million penalty to the EPA for selling GMO seed corn containing an unregistered pesticide. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can subscribe to one great weekend newsletter. It's easy and simple. Just hit subscribe. You can also subscribe to our podcast of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, along with the pre-opening and the opening market reports. It's all at willag.org. Well, up next, soybean consumption has slowed just a bit. You know, the USDA's March 30th grain stocks and prospective plantings reports were generally viewed as friendly at the time for soybean prices. That, however, though, prices declined pretty sharply over the past couple of weeks. University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Darrell Good takes up some of the reasons why. The latest USDA reports show the number of soybeans left from last year's crop and the expected production from this season are both less than first believed. Now, some called that news wildly bullish. However, since the release of those reports, soybean prices declined 35 to 45 cents from mid-April. Two important and related factors have contributed to the decline, says University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Darrell Good.
Looking at the fact that South America is in the progress of harvesting a record large crop, we've seen one of the largest monthly increases in the estimate of that, the size of that crop. That USDA is forecasting a pretty good slowdown in both the domestic crush and exports of U.S. soybeans here for the remainder of the marketing year as those South American supplies become available.
The USDA now expects the 06-07 marketing year domestic soybean crush to reach only 1.765 billion bushels. That's 15 million less than the projection that had been in place since November. Good says the smaller forecast for domestic crush reflects anticipation of a slowdown in both domestic and export use of soybean meal. Consequently, the USDA now projects the 06-07 marketing year exports of U.S. soybeans at 1.08 billion bushels. That one's down 65 million since the largest forecast made in December of 06. USDA also says South America is now harvesting a 4.135 billion bushel soybean crop. That's a whopping big crop, up some 310 million bushels from last year's South American record setter. Darrell Good thinks it, coupled with USDA's current projected U.S. soybean crop, might push November futures in Chicago down to $7.20 a bushel.
The point is, if we hold current prices through early summer, that we will get a pretty good increase in Brazilian soybean acreage for harvest in 2008. And once we've harvested a decent-sized crop, once they've planted the acres, then is there a need for soybean prices really to remain at extremely high levels with that kind of supply looking at us?
A supply in the United States that Darrell Good says could top 300 million bushels on hand at the end of the 07-08 growing season. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. The latest crop progress reports are out from the United States Department of Agriculture. They suggest as of Saturday, 11% of the nation's corn crop had been planted. That's about half the normal rate. More importantly, as you'll hear a bit later, number one Iowa is just 8% along the way. Last year it had 23% of the crop in the ground by this time. 16% of the winter wheat has been headed nationwide, and that's in pretty good condition. In fact, better than it was last week. And speaking of wheat, it might be important here to note that spring wheat crop is lagging well behind, thanks to Dale Durkles at AgriVisor for the heads up on this one. There are just six spring wheat states. Idaho and Washington are ahead of schedule. The other four, the primaries, Minnesota, Montana, North Dakota, and South Dakota, are pretty much way behind. More from the corn and soybean states now in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending April 22nd. Warmer temperatures and improved field conditions allowed farmers to make significant planting progress last week. Statewide, temperatures averaged their weekly normal, but to the benefit of farmers, rainfall was virtually non-existent all of last week. Topsoil moisture was rated at a near-perfect 3% short, 85% adequate, and 12% surplus. Corn planting, after being delayed for nearly 2 weeks due to poor weather conditions, surged to 13% complete. This trails last year's 29% and the five-year average of 37%. Leading the state in planting progress were the West, Southwest, and the Southwest crop reporting districts at 29%. Surprisingly, the Southeast Crop Reporting District trailed all other districts in planting progress with only 2% in the ground. This is likely due to the excessively wet soil condition, where 31% is still being reported as surplus. Soybean planting, at less than 1% complete, has yet to begin in most areas. 1% was planted by this state last year and normally. The soft red winter wheat crop continued to mature with 1% of the crop headed. That compares to 3% 1 year ago and 1% for the five-year average. Condition of the crop was rated as mostly fair, with problems created by the freeze around Easter still developing in several areas. Reports range from little or no damage to a complete loss for the crop. Pastures were rated in fair to mostly good condition, while alfalfa was rated mostly fair. The first cutting of alfalfa was just getting underway at 2% complete. Other farm activities last week included applying fertilizer and herbicides and tending to livestock. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Hello, this is Greg Matley with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is a crop weather report for week ending April 22nd. Planting of corn is finally underway in many areas across the state. 4% of the intended corn acreage has been planted, compared with 8% last year and 17% for the five-year average. Planting of corn is 5 days behind last year and 8 days behind the average pace. 46% of the winter wheat acreage is jointed, compared to 51% for last year and 57% for the five-year average. Winter wheat condition is rated 28% good to excellent, compared to 80% last year at this time. Some farmers have already begun tilling up wheat fields due to freeze and water damage. Damage to winter wheat and alfalfa is still being assessed. Last week, there was 3.4 days suitable for field work. Topsoil moisture was rated 71% adequate, and 29% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 1% short, 71% adequate, and 28% surplus. Precipitation averaged from 0% precipitation to a half an inch. Temperatures averaged 5 degrees below normal to 2 degrees above normal, with a high of 79 and a low of 24. This is Greg Matley reporting.
This is Joe Prusaki, State Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending April 22, 2007. The past week brought much drier and warmer weather to Iowa. Weekly rainfall amounts varied from only a trace at Burlington to 1.68 inches at Rockwall City. The statewide average precipitation was 0.5 inches, while normal for the week is 0.92 inches. Temperatures for the week averaged 7.8 degrees above normal. Soil temperatures in Iowa as of Sunday the 22nd were averaging in the mid to upper 50s. Sunny, warm, windy days aided in drying of fields. By midweek, farmers were able to resume field work, avoiding wet areas that remained. Grain movement was high at the beginning of the week while farmers waited for fields to dry out, but slowed towards the end of the week as field conditions improved. There were 3.4 days suitable for field work compared to 5.0 days last year at this time. Topsoil moisture rated 2%, very short or short, 82% adequate, and 16% surplus across Iowa. Subsoil moisture rated 4%, very short or short, 78% adequate, and 18% surplus. Oat plantings were 58% complete, 6 days behind last year's 81%, and 10 days behind the five-year average of 88%. 7% of the planted oats are emerging compared to last year's 26%. Corn planting at 8% is 5 days behind last year's 23%. Fertilizer application at 75% was 5 percentage points below both last year and the five-year average of 80%. This has been Joe Prusaki with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending April 22, 2007.
This is Steve Parn reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending April 22, 2007. Above average temperatures and dry weather allowed producers back into the field. Weed conditions improved from last week and rated 51% good or excellent, below last year's 54%. Wheat jointed was at 29%, ahead of last year's 21 and the 22 average. Corn planted was 9% complete. This is behind last year's 14 and the 5-year average of 11. Oats planted increased to 67%, but remained well behind the 85 of last year and average. Oats emerged was at 20%, well behind last year's 32 and 41 average. Alfalfa conditions also improved from last week and rated 33% good or excellent, well below last year's 73%. Pasture and range conditions rated 48% good or excellent, below last year's 57%. This has been Steve Parn of the USDA's NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the first crop weather summary for the 2007 growing season for the week ending April 22nd. Minnesota's spring weather brought a slow start to planting this year. For the week of April 9th, the average temperature for the state was 34 degrees, 7 degrees below average. However, last week's average temperature was 52.8 degrees, 7.9 degrees above normal. The warmer temperatures allowed some producers to get started with field work. Full-scale field work is expected to start on April 25th, 5 days later than last year. Of the cropland to be planted to corn, 7% was prepared for planting by Sunday, well behind the five-year average of 19%. Statewide, topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday were rated 1% very short, 7% short, 74% adequate, and 18% surplus. Subsoil moisture supplies were rated 7% very short, 20% short, 61% adequate, and 12% surplus. As of April 22nd, an estimated 4% of the Minnesota spring wheat acreage was planted, compared to 14% last year and 19% for the average. Oat acreage was 11% planted, compared to 40% last year and 35% for the average. 4% of the barley acreage was planted, compared to 17% last year and 14% for the average. That's the weekly crop weather. For the week ending April 22, 2007, I'm Doug Hartwig with USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
In just about 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather. Your regional newscast, that one's next.
Programming on WILL is made possible in part by Wachovia Securities, 1605 South State Street in Champaign. Wachovia starts with your life and plans your money around it. More information is available from Tom Manolakis, First Vice President Investments, at 351-8694.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A disturbance has broken out among prisoners at the Newcastle Correctional Facility in Indiana. Pictures taken from television helicopters showed at least two fires burning in the courtyard. The mayor of Newcastle, Tom Nipp, told an Indianapolis TV station that he was told it was a full-scale riot. Indiana Department of Corrections spokeswoman Java Ahmed confirmed there was a disturbance but has no other details. Nipp said the entire city police force had been activated. Newcastle is about 40 miles east of Indianapolis. A memorial service is set for tonight in Champaign for the Virginia Tech University student who was killed in last week's mass shooting. The First United Methodist Church will host the 7 p.m. service for Austin Cloyd. The freshman was killed by Sung Hui Cho in her French classroom on April 16th. She had attended Centennial High School and was an athlete and active church member before her family moved to Virginia. Visitation to the church begins at 5 this evening with the 7 p.m. service. A nonpartisan analysis of Indiana's property taxes indicates that bills could jump by an average of nearly 24% statewide this year. Earlier estimates put the increase at under 15%. State lawmakers are working to find a compromise on a property tax relief plan before Sunday. Planners in Urbana want to hear from bicyclists about what they like and don't like about wheeling around their city. A May 3rd workshop will let people discuss which streets they prefer and where they see safety concerns. Alderman Brandon Bowersock says the city is working on a master plan for bikes in the next 8 to 12 months, and the workshop is the first step toward that plan. Chicago-based Boeing and Virgin Atlantic Airlines are working together to develop a new biofuel for jets. Virgin Atlantic Chairman Richard Branson says he hopes the new fuel will reduce the overall pollution generated by the airline industry. Roger Ebert says he'll attend his annual Festival of Overlooked Movies at the University of Illinois this weekend, despite the concern of friends who worry about unflattering photos of him being taken. Ebert is recovering from cancer surgery that required the removal of part of his lower jaw. The festival begins tomorrow. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. This is WILL Urbana. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Don Day of Day Weather of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us on this Tuesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast around the globe and, more importantly, today, right here in the Midwest. How will planting conditions proceed for the week, please?
Well, I tell you, it looks very, very wet, and there won't be really many areas that don't get a lot of rain out of this. We see, over the course of the next 72 hours, rainfall that will be 1 to 3 inches across many areas of the Corn Belt, with the bullseye of the heaviest moisture likely being over Iowa, eastern Nebraska, northern Missouri, some areas of central Illinois and central Indiana looking at possibly an inch to two and a quarter inches of rain. We're also going to see an area of rain extend all the way south into East Texas and some areas of the northern Delta states. The areas that could use some rain that are going to miss out will be places like northern and central Minnesota and the Dakotas. But most of the Midwest and the Corn Belt are going to see some soaking rains here over the next couple of days.
Well, that means there'll be a few more RPMs put on the tractor speeds out there this afternoon. When are they going to have to shut down? Rainfall's already taking place, I take it, in parts of the Western Belt?
That is right, and it's expanding. The storm is a little slower to move out than forecast, but I would say that within the next 24 hours, we're going to be completely under the gun, with shower and thunderstorm activity developing in the western areas tonight. By sunrise tomorrow, the rain is going to overspread most of the area, and by tomorrow afternoon, it will really be going.
Now, and when will it stop?
We don't see it moving out until probably sometime as we get on into Friday. We see the system through Thursday and Thursday night hanging around, and even into Friday morning, there's going to be lingering showers in the eastern Corn Belt, but there will be a pretty good warm-up coming our way this weekend, but there's a small weather system coming in behind the main storm that may bring some shower and thunderstorm activity this weekend. So if you haven't made a lot of progress in terms of planting over the last few days, things are going to be on hold here for a good 3 to 4 days.
A little warmth, wind coming along with that next system as well?
A little bit. We are going to see a lot of high pressure, though, starting to build into the midsection of the country once we get these systems by us. So once we get past, let's say, Friday and Saturday, into the weekend and early next week, the trend is going to be warmer over a good portion of the country. So that allowed the opportunity to dry out and get back in the fields again.
Any place we ought to check in around the globe?
Well, one thing of interest is there is some better chances for moisture now in some of the very dry areas of Australia, especially the southern and western areas. And we do see some cool, wet weather in China. Seasons are changing, looking a little more like springtime, all across the Northern Hemisphere. But all Northern Hemisphere is looking at a fairly typical season so far.
Don, we appreciate you being with
Thank
us.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Tuesday afternoons.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
And that wraps up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first in-depth look at the day's markets. And remember, you can always listen to today's futures analysis and the weather reports right there on the World Wide Web. Just go to willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a safe afternoon.